This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Is anybody turning this up? Turn it up. So we are on class six of the six-week course, Belief in the Hereafter. And today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to cover those issues related to the sirat. We're also going to cover al-qantara, and we're going to discuss issues related to Jannah, and very little related to the hellfire because of the lack of time. So we can start with the questions, inshallah.
Review. What is the Sirat and where is it? Does everyone cross it? Explain your answer.
Nah.
What is the Qantara? What happens there? Why? How many gates does paradise have? Do they all have names? Will some people enter all of them? What is one of the main characteristics that leads to hell? Is there any relationship between the Sirat al-Mustaqim mentioned in Surah al-Fatiha and the Sirat of the Hereafter?
So we're going to start with the Sirat, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And what we'll be covering is events preceding the Sirat. So what we've covered thus far is Al-Qiyamah Al-Sughra, or the Minor Resurrection, which refers to what? What does that refer to? That refers to death. Each person who dies, فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ, his Qiyamah has begun, his hereafter has begun, even though it is not considered to be the last day. Okay? And so the person will remain in his or her grave until what happens? Until the horn, the second horn is blown. What happens when the first horn is blown? Everything that is on the face of the earth and in the heavens will cease to exist. It will die. It will die, rather. And there will be a period between the first blowing of the horn and the second blowing of the horn. And that period is how long? 40 what? We don't know. Because when Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked 40 days, he said abate 40 months or 40, yeah, months abate. Yeah, he didn't answer the question. He says, I refuse to answer, because he left it the way that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left it, or the way that he memorized it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then we talked about people al-ba'ath wa nushur, that is the resurrection, and people being gathered, and we talked about the land in which they are gathered, and some in the condition, and the sun coming close, and some of those things that a person can do to shade themselves or to gain the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne on the day when there is no shade except for the shade that is provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We then talked about the hisab and the mizan last week. And what's the difference between the hisab and the mizan? What is the hisab? What's that mean? Yeah, go ahead.
Count the calculation of one's
deeds. Okay, so hisab is dealing with the numbering of something and the sorting. So when the deeds to hasab, okay, they are sorted and counted. And what happens with the mizan? What does that refer to? the scale. Okay, so things need to be sorted and counted before they are weighed. Okay, and that's the way that the normal way that things work even in this life. Okay, prior to that, the people receive their books. Yani prior to them being held to account, they receive their books. And this is from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows everyone to see for themselves what they are going to be held accountable for. So after the mizan, we discuss the hold of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And as a side note, last week I mentioned, or we talked about as a group, Al-Kawthar. And I just wanted to make it clear that though some of the ulama do call the hold of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or that pond, they call it Al-Kawthar. Al-Kawthar, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam described himself, is actually what? It is the river in Jannah. Now, the hold, or the pond of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is outside of Jannah, because this is fi arasat al-qiyamah, okay, or these are in the plains of the hereafter, before a person enters their final abode, that this pond of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the water of it comes from Al-Kawthar, okay, the name of the river, Al-Kawthar. So because the water comes from there, or that's the source of the pond, some of them call the pond itself Hawd al-Kawthar. Okay? But if we just call it the Hawd, or the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perhaps this is more accurate, and we leave the name Al-Kawthar for the river that is in paradise. Okay. So at this point, it is time for, because the people's deeds have been weighed at this point, people are going to meet their final abode, either paradise or the hellfire, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. So here we're going to talk about the sirat, and we're going to talk about some of the events preceding the sirat, meaning what is going to happen. And the sirat, just quickly, it's the bridge that is placed over the fire of hell. And anyone who wants to get to Jannah has to cross over that bridge. Okay, we'll talk about the description of that bridge, inshallah ta'ala. But you're crossing from the land of gathering over the bridge, over the hellfire to paradise. And we're going to talk about some of the events that precede those, you know, the people who cross the sirat, or the crossing of the sirat. Because there's some things that happen in between the times that the deeds are weighed and between the time that people are crossing the sirat. We're going to also discuss the description of the sirat. I just mentioned to you its location. And we'll talk about who will cross the sirat. In other words, we want to know, is this going to be only for the Muslims? Is it only for the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is it only, is everybody going to be given that opportunity, including the idolaters? Will everybody be given that opportunity to cross or not? And we'll also talk about the condition of those crossing the sirat and how they will cross and so forth. All right? And as we've mentioned several times, because we are studying the hereafter, this is not something that we're able to make analogies about, if you will. And it's very different from what we see in this life. And it is part of belief in the unseen. And this is the first quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the believers in the Quran, Aladina, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, very beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, that is the book about which there is no doubt. That is the book that causes you no uneasiness. Okay, لا ريب فيه. Nothing that causes you uneasiness is in this book. It is guidance for the people of taqwa. And taqwa is being what? dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being mindful of Him, having a healthy reverence and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. And so, when we talk about belief in the unseen, there's only one way we know. And what is that?
Revelation.
Through revelation. Through revelation. It's very important that we totally understand that concept, so that we don't get up here and we start making up stuff. Or somebody saw in a dream that this is what happened, and somebody died, they went to hell, and they went to hell for 13 minutes and they came back, and they're telling everybody about it, or they went to Jannah for 26 minutes and they came back, and all these stories. That this is from the unseen, and we only know what is based on revelation itself. So we're going to cover a lot of a hadith today, an ayat from the Quran, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Naam, Shaykh.
The Prophet said, when the day of resurrection comes...
Disclaimer quickly, and that is that many of these translations are not my own, and some of them are weird. So we're going to... shouldn't say weird. Some of them need a lot of work. So be patient as we go through them, and we'll try to work through them, make them make sense, inshallah ta'ala. Nah.
When the day of resurrection comes, a muadhin, a proclaimer, would proclaim, let every people follow what they used to worship. Then all who worshipped idols and stones besides Allah would fall into the fire, till only the righteous and the vicious and some of the people of the book who worshipped Allah are left.
Yeah, and here, when he says the righteous and the vicious, what he's talking about is those who are righteous from this ummah and those who are wicked. But there's still people who only worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense of taking deities. They didn't worship anything else, the sun, the moon, or, you know, idols and so forth. All right? So, what happens is, and basically things go dark. It will go very dark, and the believers will be given light according to their deeds. And that story is laid out in Surah Al-Hadid, which is the 57th chapter in the Quran, starting from the 12th or 13th ayah. All right? For the next few ayahs, three or four ayahs, discuss the conversation that happens between the believers and the hypocrites on that day as they are crossing the Sirat. So things get dark, and as you'll see in the remainder of this hadith, fadda.
Then the Jews will be summoned, and it will be said to them, what did you worship? They will say, we worship Uzair, son of Allah. It will be said to them, you tell a lie. Allah never had a spouse or a son. What do you want now? They would say, we feel thirsty. O our Lord, quench our thirst. They would be directed to a certain direction and asked, why don't you go there to drink water?
But it's a mirage. Mm-hmm.
They would be pushed towards the fire, and they would find, to their great dismay, that it was but a mirage, and the raging flames of fire would be consuming one another, and they would fall into the fire. Then the Christians would be summoned. It would be
and obviously that's not all of the Jews, and this is not all of the Christians. Those who sincerely followed Musa alayhi salam will be amongst the Muslims, because they were Muslim. And those who followed Nuh alayhi salam were Muslim. And those who followed Yaqub and those who followed Yusuf and the rest of the prophets, they were Muslim. There was no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not revealed any deen other than Islam. That's the only religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Islam means what?
Submission.
Okay? And to submit your will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to submit to Him with tawheed and to follow whoever your messenger was. So those who sincerely followed Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they will not be included in this. They will be with the Muslims. Now, each ummah will be separate. The followers of Musa, the followers of Isa, each ummah will be separate. But, and the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will be the largest ummah. But nonetheless, they will not be people who will go to the hellfire, because they followed what they were supposed to follow. And this is what is known as al-Islam ul-Am, the general Islam, if you will. And Islam, when used to specifically identify a sharia or a set of laws or a code, then that is what we know today as Islam. That is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now,
then the Christians would be summoned and it would be said to them, what did you worship? They would say, we worship Jesus, son of Allah. It would be said to them, you tell a lie. Allah did not take for himself either a spouse or a son. Then it would be said to them, what do you want? They would say, thirsty we are, O our Lord, quench our thirst. They would be directed to a certain direction and asked, why don't you go there to get water? But they would be pushed and gathered together towards the hell, which was like a mirage to them, and the flames would consume one another. They would fall into the fire till no one is left except he who worshiped Allah, be he pious or sinful.
And in another narration in Sahihain, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and he will say, let every people follow what they worshipped. Okay? Let every people follow what they worshipped in this life. Which is also from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Follow him. You worship the sun will be put into the hellfire. They will follow the sun into the hellfire. You worship the moon, they will follow that into the hellfire. Whatever it is that they used to worship, they will follow that thing into the hellfire. Even Fir'aun will lead his people into the hellfire. يَقْدُمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ He will be in the front of his people on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and he will be the one that leads them to the fire. And it goes on to say that those who worship the devils will follow the devils, and the only ones that will be left behind is this ummah, and along its believers and its munafiqun, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said. Because apparently the munafiqun worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so based on that appearance in this life, they will be left there with the believers. And then a bridge will be set over the hellfire, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. We'll cover that in some of the other hadith bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Fadal Shaykh.
The Sirat. The Prophet ﷺ said that then the bridge will be set up over hell, and the intercession will take place, and they will say, O Allah, save us, save us.
They will say, Allahumma sallim sallim. Who will say that?
The Prophet.
The prophets. The prophets. Yani, so just so that we know, and in case I forget to mention it, and these are all, everything that I'm going to say is mentioned in Sahihain, in Bukhari and Muslim, that the first to cross the Sirat, the first that will be invited or given the opportunity to cross the Sirat, will be the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself, and then the rest of the prophets, and then this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay? And nobody will get to speak except for the prophets, who will say what? Allahumma sallim sallim. Oh Allah, keep us safe, or save us, save us. Or perhaps that dua is for the rest of their ummas. Allah, save them, save them. But the point is, make it safe, make it safe. Naam, Shaykh.
It was said, O Messenger of Allah, what is the bridge? He said, it is the void in which one is likely to slip. On it there are hooks and tongs and spikes like the thorns of the plant in Najd, which is called the Sa'dan. The believers will then pass over it like the twinkling of an eye, like lightning or the wind or birds, and like fine horses and camels. Some will escape unscathed, and the unwounded unharmed. Some will be slashed, by the hooks and let go, and some will be piled up into the fire.
Tayyib, I'm not sure about the piled up, maybe more like will fall into the fire of hell. If we look at this last part of the hadith, then we'll see that there are three separate scenarios. Some people will cross. Okay, so there are, as you can see, there are hooks, there are spikes on the Sirat. And as we'll cover later, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is a companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he described the sirat in Sahih Muslim, he said that it is thinner than a hair and sharper than a razor. All right? And again, you can say, okay, well, how are all these people going to cross that? It's the hereafter. And the hereafter is different from this dunya. How it's going to happen, we don't know. But there are certain things that we benefit from knowing that, as you will see, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. All right? So the point is that on this thin bridge, there are spikes, there are horns, hooks. Those hooks will grip some people and take them to the hellfire. Some people, the hooks will, get on their bodies and slash them, but they'll make it. They'll still get to the other side of the sirat. So some will be saved and unscathed. Some will be saved but wounded. And others will not make it. Others will not make it. And they are from the believers. They are from the believers. From the people of Tawheed. But they won't make it over the sirat. Nah. One second, Sheikh.
The condition of those crossing the Sirat. The Prophet ﷺ said, trustworthiness and kinship will be dispatched, and these will stand on the right and the left of the path, and the first of you would pass with swiftness of lightning.
So trustness and kinship, trustworthiness and kinship will be dispatched. The amana and ar-rahim. And Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, because this hadith is also in Bukhari, even though it says Muslim down here, hadith is also in Sahih Bukhari. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that they will be given forms. Trustworthiness, as we know, is immaterial. It's not something you can show me trustworthiness. Where is it? You can't see it. It will be given a form. The ties of kinship will be given a form. And they will be dispatched. That is, they will be on either side of the sirat on that day. And as it says, on the right and the left. And that is because of their great importance and to magnify the sinfulness of those who break off relationships with their relatives, and for those who are deceitful in their transactions and speech and otherwise. Now,
and the left of the path, and the first of you would pass with the swiftness of lightning. He, the narrator, said, I said, O thou who art far dearer to me than my father and my mother, which thing is like the passing of lightning? He said, have you not seen lightning, how it passes and then comes back with the twinkling of an eye?
Yeah, what he's asking, again, this is one of those antiquated translations, but basically what he's asking is, explain to me what you mean that they cross over it like lightning. And the Prophet said, have you not seen the way that lightning is? It just, in a twinkling of an eye, it comes down. Right.
Then they would pass like the passing of the wind.
Not then they would pass, but some will pass like the passing of a quick gust of wind. Right.
Then like the passing of a bird, and then the hastening of persons would be according to their deeds.
This is the part that I want you to focus on. How quickly a person crosses over the sirat, the Prophet ﷺ said, is based on what? Their deeds. How quickly a person passes over the sirat. And imagine, the sirat is sharp and it's dangerous and it's scary. The light that a person has and the quickness with which they cross is based on deeds. It's not based on what you hope, but it's based on what you do. Pay attention to that statement. We'll come back to it, inshallah.
And
And your apostle?
And your apostle would be standing on the path saying, grant safety, and sallam, Allahumma sallam, grant safety, O my Lord, grant safety. The people would go on passing till the deeds of the servants would be failing in strength. Till a man would come, you would find it hard to go along that path, but crawling.
Yeah, and he can't walk on it anymore. He's crawling.
He, the narrator, said, and on the sides of the path, hooks would be suspended, ready to catch anyone whom these would be required to catch. There would be those who would somehow or other succeed in traversing the path and getting over, and some would be pulled into hell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wallahu musta'an. All right. So what we're going to do now is try to summarize the description of the Sirat based off of what we just covered, and then I'm going to cover some other important points, bi'idhnillah, about the Sirat. Now,
summary of the Sirat's description. It is a scary, fear-inducing, terrifying thing. People will not speak other than the messenger saying, O Allah, save us, Allahumma sallam, sallam, as reported by Bukhari and Muslim. It is sharp and thin. Abu Sa'id said, I have come to know that the bridge would be thinner even than the hair and sharper than the sword. Mm-hmm. It's slippery. Only those whom Allah makes firm, Allahu Akbar, will remain on it. It was asked, Messenger of Allah, what is this bridge? He said, the void in which one is likely to slip.
He said, right, dahdun mazillah. Which basically means it's zalaq, yani it is slippery, period. I'm not sure why they translate it as the void in which one is likely to slip. He said, and what is this bridge? He said, it is a slippery place, basically. It is a slippery place. Nah.
There will be hooks, tongs,
and spikes, not spikes. Spits, yeah. Okay, so, very quickly, let's get back to our initial. Where is the Sirat? Where does it start? It starts in the plain, right, and in the mahshar, which is basically where the people are gathered on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And it extends over the hellfire. And it leads to Jannah. It leads to paradise. All right? Now, at the end of the Sirat and before paradise, there is another bridge, Al-Qantara, which we'll cover next, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay. Who will even be the ones who could possibly cross over the Sirat? Yes.
I think it would be the true spirits, because what you're saying, if you got to go to the Sirat and it's so difficult, then that's even testing how much a believer you are to even reach the level of true spiritual, to believe and the hereafter.
Okay, so but the question is more narrowed down to when we talk about classifications of people. So idolaters, will they be able to cross the Sirat? Or would they be even from the people who get to the Sirat? No. And that's because they're going to do what? They're going to follow their idols into the hellfire. Okay? So the ones who are left, as the Prophet ﷺ said, is this ummah, wa baqaya min ahl al-kitab. And here, ahl al-kitab is not just talking about who we call today Jews and Christians. They are people who followed the book or followed a book. That is, they followed a messenger from those who came beforehand. So there will be this ummah, including the hypocrites from this ummah. Somebody, as we're speaking, just get the translation, open it up to Surah Hadid, and look around the 12th ayah, inshallah. So the idolaters, Zakallah, the idolaters will not even be from people who cross over the Sirat, or be from the people who are subject or given that opportunity to cross over the Sirat, nor will those who from the other ummas who worshipped idols. So for those who worship the cross, or who worship Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, or who worshiped Uzair, or otherwise, they will not be from the people who will cross the Sirat, or those who begin to cross the Sirat. Tayyip. Now, so we have left what? Muslims of various sorts, and some with very strong faith and great deeds, and some not so much, and munafiqun. What will be the conversation between the munafiqun and the believers? Hold on, I'll tell you.
What are they?
Give it to me.
12.
Just read it in English, inshallah, if you don't mind.
Start from the believers or start from the hypocrites?
يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعون.
On the day you will see believing men and believing women, their light running forward before them, and by their right hands. Glad tidings for you this day, gardens under which rivers flow, and a paradise to dwell therein forever. Truly, this is the great success.
Right. So the great success, obviously, is being able to enter paradise. And there are other ahadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that clarify that the light that each person will be given will be based on, also will be based on their deeds. So some people will have very bright lights, and other people, the Prophet alayhi salam said, their lights will flicker on and off, on and off. And you're going to need as much light as you can get. Fadhil.
On the day when the hypocrites, men and women, will say to the believers, wait for us, let us get something of your light. It will be said, go back to your rear, go back behind you, and then seek a light. So a wall will be put up between them, with a gate therein. Inside of it will be mercy.
Yani, on the one side of that gate is mercy. That's the side where the believers are. And on the other side,
outside it will be torment.
Yeah.
The hypocrites will call to the believers, saying, weren't we with you? But you led yourselves into temptations, and you looked forward to our destruction. You doubted in faith, and you were deceived by false desires, till the command of Allah came to pass. And the chief deceiver, and
Shaitan,
deceived you in respect to Allah. So this day, no ransom shall be taken from you, nor from those who disbelieved. Your abode is the fire. That is your mola, your friend, your proper place, where you will remain. And the worst indeed is that destination.
Allah musta'an. Nas'allahu al-afiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. And let's look what Al-Qurtubi said in Tadhkira. And I want you to reflect. I want you to reflect now.
Al-Qurtubi said, think now of how your heart will be filled with terror when you see the Sirat and how narrow it is. Then your gaze falls upon the blackness of hell beneath it. Then your ears are filled with the angry roaring of hell. You are commanded to walk on the Sirat. Even though you are so weak, your heart is pounding, your feet are trembling, and your back is so weighed down with the burden of your sins that you can hardly walk on the land, let alone the narrow edge of the Sirat. How will it be when you put one of your feet upon it, and you feel how sharp it is, and you are forced to lift your other foot, and other people ahead of you are slipping and stumbling, and the keepers of hell are grabbing them with hooks and spikes, and you can see them tilting their head downward towards hell and lifting their feet. What a terrifying scene it will be. How difficult will it be to cross this narrow space?
Allah mustahil. Okay. So here we have a statement of Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, and as you can see on the right, it says what you do in this life has a great impact on how you cross the Sirat. Ibn Rajab says, in commenting on that hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that your crossing of the Sirat will be based on your deeds, Ibn Rajab says, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ فِي الدُّنْيَا هُوَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. That is, that faith and righteous actions in this life are the straight path in this life, in this in this dunya. الَّذِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ الْعِبَادَ بِسُلُوكِهِ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَيْهِ. This is the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded His servants to traverse and to be upright and firm upon. Knowledge, which is that faith, al-iman, and righteous actions. وَأَمْرَهُمْ بِسُؤَالِ الْهِدَايَةِ إِلَيْهِ. And He commanded His servants to ask Him to guide them to that path in this life. To what path? The Sirat al-Mustaqim, which is what? Iman and righteous actions. And that Iman obviously is based on your knowledge. Okay? So Allah commanded us to ask Him to guide us to that path. فَمَنْ اسْتَقَامَ سَيْرُهُ عَلَى هَذَا it should say المستقيم في الدنيا. So whoever is upright, whoever his traversing of that path is firm and upright in this life, ظاهراً وباطناً, inwardly and outwardly, not just someone who's faking it, but someone who's really living it, استقام مشيه على ذلك الصراط المنصوب على متن جهنم. Then he will be upright and walking on that path that is over the hellfire, that bridge, that sirat. ومن لم يستقم سيره على هذا الصراط المستقيم. I don't think that should be there. It should say في الدنيا. So whoever is not upright and his traversing this path is not upright in this life, he's not on the Sirat al-Mustaqim in this life, بل انحرف عنه, rather he goes astray from that path, he deviates from the straight path, إما إلى فتنة الشبهات أو إلى فتنة الشهوات, either because he goes towards a path of lusts and desires and following his base, you know, desires, or due to doubts and misconceptions and ideologically deviating. كان اختطاف الكلاليب له على صراط جهنم بحسب اختطاف الشبهات والشهوات له عن هذا الصراط المستقيم. He said, the hereafter will grip him and rip him in according to the way that the doubts and misconceptions and desires ripped him and hooked him in this life. So let that be a lesson. And let us, yani, when we think about the Sirat al-Mustaqim and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon that Sirat al-Mustaqim, let us remember the Sirat of the hereafter. And let us remember that, you know, being upright in this life will allow you to not fall in the next life. Allah Mustaan. The time is limited. I'm going to push all questions back till after we finish, inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib. Fadl Sheikh.
The Qantara. Defining the Qantara, the location of the Qantara, what happens at the Qantara, are people there still subject to him?
Okay. So the Qantara, from a linguistic perspective, just so that we're clear, the Qantara refers to any bridge. A bridge, al-jisr, is a Qantara. Okay? And we've previously translated that as an arch due to some of the descriptions, because some bridges, as you know, some bridges kind of look straight across, they go straight. Others are arched. And so this bridge appears to be an arched bridge. Wallahu a'lam. It is at the end of the Sirat and before Jannah. So Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala and Ibn Hajar and other scholars, they said that it is a second bridge altogether. Some scholars said that it's an extension of the Sirat, and once a person gets to the end of what we know as the Sirat, that's where the hellfire ends. And that there's this extension, if you will, before Jannah, and there are certain things that happen there. So is it a separate bridge or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What's more important to us is what actually happens there, as we'll see in this next hadith, bi'inillahi ta'ala. Now,
Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the believers pass safely over the bridge, the jism of over hell, they will be stopped at a bridge in between hell and paradise, where retribution will be established among them for the injustices done among them in the world. After they are cleansed and purified through retribution, they will be admitted into paradise. By him in whose hand is Muhammad's soul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each person will recognize his home in paradise better than he recognizes his home in this world.
Allah Akbar. Tayyib, so here, as we can see, what is happening at the Qantara? What happens at this place? So here, just so that we're clear, because it doesn't say it in Arabic, it says, when the believers pass safely over the bridge across hell, they will be stopped at a bridge. That in the Arabic is called Qantara. Okay? يُقَفُونَ عِنْدَ قَنْطَرَةٍ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. Okay? Or بَيْنَ النَّارِ وَالْجَنَّةِ, I'm not sure. Where retribution, يعني the qisas, will be established among them because of the injustices done among them in the world. Okay, so here, just so that we're clear, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions this in his explanation of Al-Wasitiyah. He says that this is a special type of retribution that differs from the retribution that was done during the Hisab. Okay, so if you look back, if we go back to the account, you're held accountable for everything that you've done. And those include the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of His creation. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first thing that you will be held to account for on Yawm al-Qiyamati will be your, what? Salah. Huh? Yes, will be the Salah. But أول ما يقضى بين الناس, the first thing that will be judged between the people on that day will be what? In blood. Right. Okay? So, there's a certain account that takes place there. And the Prophet ﷺ told this Ummah, تَدْرُونَ مَنَ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know who the bankrupt person is? He's the one who comes on the day of judgment. He's got salat. He's got charity. He's got all types of good deeds. أَمْثَالَ الْجِبَالِ, the Prophet ﷺ said. Like mountains. But he oppressed this one. He hit that one. He spoke evil about this one. وَسَفَكَ دِمَاءَ هَذَا, and he killed that one. So that one takes from his good deeds, and that one takes from his good deeds, and that one, until if he doesn't have any good deeds left, then what happens? Then he starts taking from their bad deeds. This is all before the scale. This is all before the mizan. Because what happens with the account is what? We determine this is a good deed. These are good deeds. These are good deeds. This good deed is multiplied 10 times. This good deed is multiplied 700 times. This bad deed is as it is. And this is why some of the Salaf used to say, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ غَلَبَتْ عَشَرَاتُهُ أَوْ غَلَبَتْ أَحَادُهُ عَشَرَاتُهُ. وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ غَلَبَتْ أَحَادُهُ عَشَرَاتِهِ. Woe to the person whose ones outweigh his tens. Because your bad deeds are multiplied how many times? Once. They just count for the way they are. A person's good deeds are multiplied 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, 700 times. Ila ma sha Allah. To what Allah wills. Because sometimes it may be fasting or your sabr, you know, your patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards that without a number attached to it. So woe to the one whose ones have overcome his tens. right? So here, there's going to be a level of retribution between the believers that happens right there. And so who is it that gets to this particular point? And this is where the scholars have mentioned, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that even after the retribution is done, that they're still going to paradise. These will be the ones who are at the Qantara. As for those whose bad deeds have already outweighed the good deeds, then they're not going to get to this point of the Qantara. And Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala says that the point here is to do what? It's purification of the hearts towards each other. Is that the believers now at this point, sometimes subhanAllah, you might get even, but you still don't feel good about it. Something still, but you know, somebody did something to you, you got your rights back, but you still have something in your chest against that person. And so the qantara is to purify the heart. The qantara is to purify the heart, as we'll see in these ayat, inshallah ta'ala. Naam, Sheikh.
Now, Allah mentions in the Quran, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي سُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. And we will remove all ill feelings from their hearts, brothers, on couches facing one another. Surah Al-Hijr. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي سُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْحَارُ وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق ونودوا أن تلكم الجنة أورثتموها بما كنتم تعملون. We will strip away whatever rancor remains in their hearts, whatever ill feelings and ill will. Rivers shall flow underneath them. They will say all praises for Allah who guided us to this. Never could we have found the right path had Allah not guided us. The messengers of our Lord had brought the truth. A voice will call out to them and proclaim, you have inherited this paradise as a reward for what you used to do.
Alright, so if we reflect over this, what can we do to avoid spending time on the qantara? Because the reality is that some people will be there longer than others because they've got a lot to clear up. And so a believer is trying to make things right in this life. I don't want anything in my chest against another believer. I don't want to have to owe anybody anything. I don't want any problems across the board, because I want to cross the Sirat and go to Jannah and not have to just wait there at the Qantara while other people might be going in. You understand? So some people will be held up. And even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and listen to this, he mentioned that the poor believers will enter Jannah before the rich believers 500 years before them. Because the more money you have, the more you have to account for. You understand? I mean, so these concepts, I mean, just kind of, and this does not mean it's blameworthy to have money. It's blameworthy to hoard money. It's blameworthy, yes, right? It's blameworthy to spend money in a way that's displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so forth. But because as we know, some of the best of the Muslims, Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Uthman radiallahu anhu, and they were the best of the Muslims. They're going to be entering Jannah before a lot of other people. This is a generic statement, by the way, that those who are rich in general will be later to enter Jannah than those who are poor. Alright? And so the idea is, you don't want to do things that are going to tie you up and delay, you know, the gratification and the bliss of Jannah. Now,
paradise. The gates of paradise, their names, means of entering them. Entering paradise and descriptions from Sahih al-Bukhari.
All right, yeah, we're going to move through this pretty quickly, inshallah. Fadl.
Paradise, its gates, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anyone who spins a pair for the sake of Allah will be called from the gates of Jannah, O slave of Allah, this is better for you. The people of Salah will be called from the gate of Salah. The people of Jihad will be called from the gate of Jihad. The people of Charity will be called from the gate of Charity, and the people of Fasting will be called from a Rayyan gate.
Nah. So what this hadith indicates, without going a lot into a lot of detail, but anyone who spends a pair, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man anfaqa zawjaini fi sabilillah," for the sake of Allah. And the scholars have different interpretations of what this means, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There's two that seem to be the best interpretations. One means that a person spends one thing after another. Okay, so that's considered to be in fact, yani, that a person is giving away in charity one thing after another. The other interpretation is that a person gives different types of things. So some of them said like a dirham and a dinar. Yani, in other words, they give away gold and silver. Others say they give away, for example, clothing, and they, yani, the things that are needed for those who are defending the ummah, that they give away clothing and they provide them with transportation, for example, horses and so forth. Yani, the point is that different types of spending, that there are different types of spending or a continual type of spending. The point is that it's not just that a person does a one-off. All right. So من أنفق زوجين في سبيل الله, then they will be called from the gates of Jannah. How many gates are mentioned here? Come on, people. Four gates. What are they? The gate of Salat, Jihad, Sadaqah, and Ar-Rayyan, right? Which is the only gate that actually has been named in terms of this particular hadith. And there's a lot of benefit to this hadith that we just simply can't cover, because our point now is to identify the gates of paradise. Fadl.
Abu Darda narrated that a man came to him and said, I have a wife whom my mother has ordered me to divorce. So Abu Darda said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the parent is the best gate to paradise. So if you wish, then neglect that door or protect it. At-Tirmidhi.
Right. So in this hadith, when this man, so the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, the point is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-Walidu awsatu abawabil jannah. So some of them have said that this is actually the name of a door in paradise. The name of the door is the parents. Okay? And it is awsat abawab al-jannah, meaning khayruha, that it is the best door to paradise. The scholars of hadith have mentioned in their explanations that what this means, what this refers to, is that the best and in fact easiest way for a person to get to Jannah is by serving and being dutiful to their parents. وَمُطَاوَعَةُ الْوَالِدِ, in other words, living in accordance to your parents' wishes. Okay? Now obviously that has its ضوابط or its regulations, but the point is that this is one of the doors of Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now,
then it will be said, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raise your
hand. This is a totally different hadith, by the way. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Now,
ask and it will be granted, intercede and it will be accepted. So I will raise my head and say, my followers.
Stop there real quick. So this is the hadith of Ash-Shafa'ah, and it's referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking Allah azza wa jal to open up the doors of Jannah. Okay? Because the doors of Jannah will not be opened until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is granted that permission. No.
So I will raise my head and say, my followers, O my Lord, my followers, O my Lord, it will be said, O Muhammad, let those of your followers who have no accounts,
yani, those that will not be taken to account. Okay, so. it says أدخل من أمتك من لا حساب عليهم. And we covered that before, that there are 70,000 from this ummah who will enter paradise without hisab. They won't be held to account at all. They won't go through that process where they're asked, well, what did you do? And you did such and such on such and such a day. They won't go through that process. They will enter Jannah without any account being held account for anything. Nah.
Enter through such a gate of the gates of paradise as lies on the right.
Okay, so this is called al-bab al-ayman min al-jannah. من الباب الأيمن من أبواب الجنة من أبواب نعم. So some of the scholars said that this is actually the name of the door, الباب الأيمن, which means the furthest right door, the door that is the furthest right. That is actually the name of the door of Jannah, and Allah Subhanahu wa Taala knows best. But that's what it says in Arabic. نعم. من لا حساب عليهم من الباب الأيمن من أبواب الجنة. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best if that's the case. Is it time for salah? It's time for the day?
Yeah.
Play Fadl for me.
Allah!
So we know that the first four have been established, the door of Salah, the door of Sadaqah, the door of Jihad, Ar-Rayyan, which is the door for the people of fasting. And this doesn't mean the people who fast in Ramadan and that's it. It means people who fast the month of Ramadan and add on to that many voluntary fasts. The people of Salah are not just people who pray five times a day, but the people who add on to that. So here, likewise, those who are extra dutiful to their parents, then this is a door from the doors of paradise. And also al-bab al-ayman, which is the furthest right door, that will only be entered by those people who la hisab alayhim. And their quality, the quality of those who will enter Jannah without hisab, the common denominator for them is at-tawakkul, perfecting their reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? Which comes with a perfection of tawheed. And so this is a very important quality. There are other ahadith, for example, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he says, Lil Jannati Thamaniyatu Abawabin, Jannah has 8 doors, Sab'atun Mughlaqa, 7 of them are closed. وَبَابٌ مَفْتُوحٌ وَهُوَ بَابُ التَّوْبَةِ And then there is a door that is open, and that is the door of Tawbah, hatta tatla ash-shamsu min nahwihi, until the sun rises from, we can translate it as, the west. This hadith has been graded as hasan by many of the scholars of hadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There's several hadith. The point is that there are eight doors to Jannah, and we should seek to, we should find our door. We should, you know, as Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions, that it's very rare for a person to be, for each of those doors to be opened for him. Normally, it's going to be one door at the expense of others, but the point is to find out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes easy for you, and then go for it. Perfect it. Excel in that area, because we need, as an ummah, we need people in all of those areas. And excel. But there are some people who will enter, or will have their choice of entering from any of those eight. And at the end of that hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Messenger of Allah, will there be anyone who is called from all of those gates?" And he said, "Yes, and I, وَلَعَلَّكَ مِنْهُمْ أَوْ أَرْجُوا أَن تَكُونَ مِنْهُمْ," and I hope that you will be among them. But not just Abu Huraira, not just Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, fadda. In other words, there are some people outside of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam who will be, who can choose which door they want to enter, and we should try to be from among them. Now,
anyone who testifies that there is no true God except Allah alone, having no partner with Him, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His slave and His messenger, and that Isa is His slave and messenger, and His word which He communicated to Maryam, and His spirit which He sent to her, and that Jannah is true and hell is true, Allah will allow him to enter Jannah from any of his eight gates he wills.
Nah. Next.
Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet said, "If a woman prays her five prayers, fasts her month of Ramadan, guards her chastity, and obeys her husband, she will enter paradise from any gate she wishes."
Nah. A virtue that the woman have over us. Nah. Sahih.
Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu reported that Allah's Messenger said, "Whoever he performs wudu well then says, I testify that there is no true God except Allah, and that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger, the eight gates of Jannah are open for him, he can enter through whichever of them he wills."
And wallahi, how many times do we make wudu and we just don't feel it, and we just don't understand the importance of making that, saying that after we make wudu, and feeling our wudu, and testifying this with truth. I mean, not just saying it, but testifying as if you were standing in court bearing witness to something that you see, that you are witnessing, that there is nothing worthy of word. Because subhanAllah, if you do that, your heart will be pure. Your heart will be pure. You won't seek to be a people pleaser. You won't be arrogant. None of those things. SubhanAllah. No.
Paradise entering. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet said, "I will come to the gates of paradise on the day of resurrection and would seek to open it. The keeper will say, 'Who are you?' I will reply, 'Muhammad.' He will then say, 'I have been ordered not to open it for anyone before you.'"
And as we know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this is part of his the answering of his dua, his intercession, that he is the one who will intercede for the gates of paradise to be opened, and it will be upon that dua and upon him going to Estaftihu, as he says, "I will seek to open those the gates." It will be at that time that the gates will be open. We're going to read these last three hadith, inshallah ta'ala, all of which are from Sahih Bukhari, and we'll conclude with them our series, but this particular series on the belief in the hereafter. Now,
Abu Sa'id ibn al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah will say to the people of paradise, 'O the people of paradise,' they will say, 'Labbaik, O our Lord, and Sa'daik.'"
Labbaik and Sa'daik, we're here, we're at your service, O our Lord.
"Allah will say, 'Are you pleased?' They will say, 'Why should we not be pleased, since you have given us what you have not given to anyone of your creation?' Allah will say, 'I will give you something better than that.' They will reply, 'O our Lord, what could be better than that? Or what is better than that?' Allah will say, I will bestow my pleasure and contentment upon you so that I will never be angry with you after forever.
Nah. Fadha.
Narrated Abdullah
Ibn Mas'ud
that the Prophet said, I know the person who will be the last to come out of hell, of the hellfire, and the last person to enter paradise.
Listen to what this person gets. He is the person who gets the least in paradise. This person has the least in paradise. He's the last one out the hellfire, the last one to enter paradise. Nah.
He will be a man who will come out of the hellfire crawling. Allah will say to him, go and enter paradise. He will go to it, but he will imagine that it has been filled. And then he will return and say, oh Lord, I have found it full. Allah will say, go and enter paradise, and you will have what equals the world and 10 times as much, or you will have as much as 10 times the like of the world. On that, the man will say, do you mock at me, or are you laughing at me, though you are the king? I saw Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that, smiling, that his premolar teeth became visible, and he's smiling widely and brightly. It is said that will be the lowest in degree amongst the people of paradise.
Listen to that. 10 times the world and everything that is in it. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. I mean, if a person had everything in his city, he would be considered to be what? I mean, beyond the man. His state, his country, his continent, the world, 10 times over. And that's the least that a person gets in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Naam Shaykh.
Narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will say to the person who will have the minimum punishment in the fire on the day of resurrection, if you had things equal to whatever is on the earth, would you ransom yourself from the punishment with it? He will reply, yes. Allah will say, I ask you a much easier thing than this while you were in the backbone of Adam. That is, not to worship others besides me, but you refused and insisted to worship others besides me.
And this refusal is oftentimes due to arrogance. The refusal to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oftentimes due to kibr. And it was what led Shaytan himself to be the one to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his arrogance. You created me. Why would I bow down to him? Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to prostrate, I'm not listening to you. You created me like this. Khalaqtani min nar. You created me from fire. You created him from clay or mud. Why am I going to bow down to him? And so the quality that we have to avoid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the fire being prepared lil mutakabbirin, for those who are arrogant. The quality that we have to avoid as believers is kibr. And kibr, arrogance, is ghamtul haqqi, is raddul haqqi wa ghamtun nas, batrul haqqi wa ghamtun nas. It is to reject the truth and to look down on people. To reject the truth and look down on people, even though those people, subhanAllah, may be people who walk upright on the Sirat al-Mustaqim in this life. They may be people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to cross the Sirat like lightning in the next life, and we still look down on them for whatever reason, because of their ethnic background, because of their socioeconomic status, because of whatever else it might be, you look down on them. Maybe you look down on them because they don't believe yet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't guaranteed that you will die on Iman, and He hasn't guaranteed that they will die on Kufr. And so, batarul haqq, to reject the truth. And many people just reject the truth, and they know it's the truth, but they reject it for whatever reason. Wa ghamtun nas, and looking down on the people, this is that arrogance. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, this hadith al-Qudsi, is helping us to is drawing our attention to. A person on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when they see the hellfire, they will give anything, whatever they have, to be saved from Allah. Say, if you had everything in the world, would you give it to say, yes, I would gladly ransom myself with that. I ask you for something much easier than that. To worship me and not worship others besides me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people of Tawheed, and that He save us and our offspring from shirk. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.